The grace of the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
I noticed you started getting kind of quiet, so I figured that meant you wanted to get started. So, Happy New Year to you. I'm glad to see most of you for the first time this year. Hope you're doing well. I invite you to take note of the announcements in your bulletin today. They're all important. Notice that we have some things coming up, things starting back up, so make sure you take note of those things on the calendar. Our first gym night of the year will be on February the 6th. We'll also be having an ice cream bar for our backpack food program, so you can start signing up on the bulletin board in the hallway today. Notice that our Funsters trips are scheduled for this year, first few months of the year, and our first one will be January 17th, which will be not this week, but the next week, so go ahead and sign up for that. We still have plenty of room. The Airborne and Special Operations Museum in Fayetteville. We'll have a great time and eat lunch while we're gone. So we'll have a wonderful time together. So please sign up today. Look at your prayer concern list and listen carefully because I've got lots of updates to share with you. First, let's pray for those who have lost loved ones recently. We had been praying for Sandra's cousin, Martha, and she passed away this past week, so be in prayer for that family. Also, we had been praying for John Cook, Hilda Stockard's friend, who had surgery, and he passed away, so be in prayer for that family. And then to add to the list, Shirley Wagner's sister in Texas, Margaret Lineberry, passed away, and so we want to be in prayer especially for Shirley and for the whole family during this time. So be in prayer for those families. Also ask your prayers for David Burns. David has been suffering from a severe infection, and he's at Hillcrest Convalescent Center in Durham for now. So be in prayer for David and his wife, Sarah. Drew Deming had gallbladder surgery, but is recovering well at home from that, so be in prayer for Drew's recovery. Ellen Holt is at Twin Lakes Cobble Healthcare. She is doing well and hoping to come home in the next week or so, probably a couple of weeks, but be in prayer for Ellen. Randy Thompson is Penny Rice's nephew, and he has cancer. He's finished radiation and is now starting chemo, so be in prayer for Randy Thompson. Also ask your prayers for our daughter, Lauren. She has had three fractures in the same foot and ankle over the past 4 months, and so now they feel like it's time to do surgery. So Lauren will be having surgery at ARMC this Thursday, so please be in prayer for her. Dana DeLue is Claire Melvin's brother, and we've been praying for him. And he just had an MRI and got a good report from that, so we're very thankful for that. Sermon might be short today. You won't complain, will you? Then Paul Browning had shoulder surgery this past week. Didn't do everything that they wanted it to do, but be in prayer for Paul as he recovers. In addition to that, Paul's mom, Juanita Browning, fell this past week. She's 98 years old. First, they thought she broke her hip, but she actually broke her femur. But they had to do surgery, and she is recovering from that, so be in prayer for Juanita Browning. I also got word this morning from Peggy Stout. That her daughter, Lucy Hyatt, had a light stroke yesterday and is at ARMC. So be in prayer for Lucy Hyatt and her recovery. Are there any other prayer concerns that you would like to mention or praises that you'd like to mention today? Let me invite you then to stand together and we'll join in the call to worship. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." God made the world through the Son, who has been appointed heir of all things and is the perfect reflection of God's glory. Praise God for the gift of His Son. Welcome, the light of the world. And just before we sing, let me mention that the reason we're reading that scripture and singing this song is today is Epiphany, which is, if you've heard of the 12 days of Christmas, Christmas season is actually lasting 12 days. This is the culmination of that as we celebrate the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles, especially in the story of the Magi. So let us celebrate today. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the story long, long ago of how the star appeared and the Magi followed the star because they were looking for the one who had been promised to come. We thank you that that promise one was Jesus Christ and that he has promised to be with us as we worship him this day. We thank you for that and praise you as we begin a new year worshiping you together through Jesus our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. Well, today is January the 6th. Did you make a New Year's resolution for the year? Have you already broken it? 6 days, maybe so. We are prone to have wonderful intentions and then to fail to follow through. And we do that with God, too. It's called sin. We break the things that we know that God wants us to do. So let's be honest and confess our sin using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. Creator God, amen. The Apostle Paul wrote, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Or as another translation has it, where sin was powerful, God's grace was even more powerful. This is the good news. God can forgive you. God can change you. God can transform your life through the power of Jesus Christ, his Son. Through him we are forgiven. Amen. Invite all the children now to come forward to be here at the front for the ordination and installation of our new elders. And you can talk to each other while they're coming. Why don't y'all scoot down a little bit if you can? One big happy family. We'll get really close today. Colby, you can come on. There's room. Maybe not room for Kelly, but room for you. All right, this is a very special day in the life of our congregation as we ordain and install elders, people who will be in leadership positions in our church. So I'm going to call them to come forward. You see their names in your bulletin. There are two that are being installed today for a second term. That's Mildred Price and Priscilla Starling. So if you'll come forward. And then Two that are being installed today for first term, that's Mary Browning and Phil Mosley. And then one who's being ordained, and have you stand right here from the communion table. And one who's being ordained and installed, and that's Scott Pickard. We're going to put Scott in the middle because he's the only one that's going to kneel. So there we go. And let's give Phil extra points. He had knee replacement surgery. How many days ago?
Or 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago. And here he is. He's here, and he's standing. So let's give him extra points, extra credit. I'm going to ask our current president of the trustees, Lenny Stout, to come forward and assist today. These five have been chosen by you. The way the process works is you choose the nominating committee. The nominating committee brings names to the session, and then they come to you, and you get to vote. You are the ones as a congregation who vote on these people to be your leaders, your elders. And so I have some questions to ask them. These are constitutional questions, questions in our Constitution that we ask all elders before they become ruling elders. And then Lenny Stout has questions to ask you. You have a part in this process as well. So first, questions to these who will be serving as ruling elders. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge him Lord of all and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you? Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church Universal and God's Word to you? Do you? Do you sincerely receive and accept the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Do you and will you? Will you fulfill your office in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? Will you? Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them subject to the ordering of God's Word and Spirit? Will you? Will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? Will you? You promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church, do you? Will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Will you? Will you be a faithful ruling elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in councils of the church? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you? Now, your part in this, Lenny will ask you questions that you answer that as you participate in this part of worship.
Do we, the members of Grand Presbyterian Church, accept Mildred Price, Priscilla Starling, Phil Mosley, and Scott Pickard as ruling elders, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? Do we? Do we agree to encourage them, to respect their decisions, and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is the head of the church? Do we?
Now, I'm going to invite any who've been ordained in offices of the church, whether this congregation or other congregations, invite you to come forward now to participate. We're installing all five of these, but only one is being ordained, and that's Scott Pickard. So, Scott, I invite you to kneel. We're going to use the tradition of the church. We lay hands on these. I'm going to lay hands on Scott, but you, all of you gather around, lay hands on these others that are being installed. And Mildred, you and then kind of form a human chain. And I'm sorry, I'm doing the best I can. Let's join together in prayer as we ordain and install Scott Pickard as elder. Almighty God, in every age, you've chosen servants, women and men, to speak your word and lead your loyal people. We thank you now for these whom you've called to serve. Give them special gifts to do your work. Fill them with your Holy Spirit so that they may have the same mind as Christ Jesus and be your faithful disciples for as long as you give them breath on this earth. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Why don't you stand? Up there. Good boy. Let me declare now to all five of you, you are now ruling elders in the Church of Jesus Christ and for this congregation. A very special privilege. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I'll invite you to welcome them. Why don't you start over here? Those of you kind of migrate over this way so you can kind of get in line and welcome each one of them. Yeah, I know. I don't need it. I've got one thing. You got anything stronger? I got something. I got one right there. Here. A minute. She needs to go to the bathroom. Yeah. Maybe. Hey, George. Hey, Dave. I know. Now, I love all five of you. I love you so much, and I'm not going to hug you right now. I don't want to share anything with you, but I'm so thankful for all five of you being willing to serve and look forward to serving on the session with you in the years to come. So thank you very much. You can be seated. And thank you for being on the front row to see these people become leaders in our church. And who knows, one day you might grow up to be a leader in this church or another church somewhere. So you be faithful to God and see what God has for you. Now, it's time for you to go out to children's church. So, never knew how many people came to church with cough drops. Been offered a lot. Do you always bring one every time you come? Thank you, though. Look with me now at our scripture lesson, Philippians chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 10 to 13. Let's prepare to hear God's word together. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, as we start a new year, we pray that we would be even more aware of your presence in our life and our need for you. Lord, even this morning as we hear your word proclaimed, we need you to shine your light into our hearts because we cannot do this on our own. So we pray that your Holy Spirit would take this word and illumine it to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Look with me then at Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 10. Listen carefully. This is God's word to us. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And then listen to this verse. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Growing up, were there any words that your parents taught you not to say? Or maybe they taught you not to say certain words, and then as you grew up, you heard them say some of those words, and you call that to their attention? Or maybe they taught you not to say certain words, especially when grandparents were around. You know, don't dare say that in front of grandma or grandpa. Well, there are words that we don't use in polite company or don't use at all. But I want to introduce you today to one word that I'm going to encourage you not to use at all this year. It's a word that will keep you from what God wants for you. Now, as we start a new year together, sometimes we make resolutions. We decide that we want to lose a few pounds or tighten up our calendars or maybe not be on our phones so much or watch so much sports or, you know, things like that. But from a biblical perspective, there's something else that you should consider this year, and that is to not use the word can't. That's the four-letter word, C-A-N apostrophe T, can't. It's a destructive word. It destroys our potential. We say, I can't lose weight. I can't save money. I can't find time to read the Bible. I can't forgive her. I can't change. It destroys motivation. It shifts responsibility. It denies reality. When you say, I can't, you're simply giving up the fight. And besides, in a way, it's a lie. It's not the full truth. By yourself, you can't. But with God's help, you can do everything that God intends for you to do this year. Now, how do I know that? Well, look at Philippians chapter 4, especially verse 13. This is what Paul wrote from prison. It's such an important verse. I have it written in calligraphy and framed on my office wall so that I can see it every day. I want you to listen to five different versions of this verse. You know how when you look at different translations, it kind of brings out the meaning in different ways. First, the way I just read it to you from the TNIV, I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. Then from the Living Bible, I can do everything God asks me to with the help of Christ who gives me strength and power. Or the Message, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. Or J.B. Phillips' translation, I am ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives within me. Or the 20th century New Testament, nothing is beyond my power in the strength of him who makes me strong. Do you feel the positive energy from that verse being repeated over and over? But is it really true? I want to encourage you today to embrace the I can Christianity this year and eliminate that bad four-letter word. Can you really do it? Can you? Well, I want to answer that question with four ideas this morning. First, you can if you want to. You can if you want to. Before the accomplishment comes the desire. If you want something badly enough, then you have a fighting chance of getting it. For example, picture a circle drawn around me this morning of my current accomplishments, all the things that I have accomplished in my life. And then picture a bigger circle outside of that drawn around me of all my potential accomplishments, things I have not yet done, but that I might do or could do. Now, there are some things I will never do, and you have to kind of come to that place in your life that you realize that. But if I assume I can't, then I won't, because I won't even try. And when you lose your dream, then you stop wanting and you stop trying. And then guess what? It never happens. Here's the truth of human nature. If you've got a problem in your life, which path, if you've got a choice of two paths, which path will take you to solving that problem faster? I can't or I can. And you know the answer. After all, when we say I can't, we're really usually saying I won't. And I'm not saying W-A-N-T. W-O-N apostrophe T. Can I get through this sermon? I can. I'll give you an example. Getting personal now. I'm not getting emotional. I'm just trying to get the words out. Several years ago, my wife, Joy, lost over 80 pounds. You know how many pounds I lost in that same time? Close to zero. You know what the difference is? The things that she did, she used a low-carb diet focused on carbs. I never knew there were carbs in so many things. I learned a lot in my head. But the reason I didn't lose weight that year or the year since is because I said, I can't do that. You know what I was really saying? I won't do that. Could I have eaten the things that she ate and not eaten the things that, yes, I could have, but I chose not to. See? You can if you want to. Secondly, you can if God wants you to. You can if God wants you to. Now, some people have taken this verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and kind of taken it out of context. I can do anything. Can I play the piano? Can I shoot 80 in golf? Or can I make straight A's? Can I paint a picture and win the art contest? The Bible says I can, so I can. Well, not necessarily. Paul's not saying that you can do anything. I mean, you have your limitations. He's saying I can do everything God wants me to do through the power that God gives me. What he's talking about, really, is the financial aid that the Philippians gave him. He said in the early days of his ministry, Philippians were the only ones that helped him financially. He said he wasn't dependent on them because he could be content without, but that he thanked them that they could do all things through Christ who gave them strength. So you can if God wants you to. Thirdly, you can if you rely on Jesus Christ. You can if you rely on Jesus Christ. Now, this is taking the I can one step further. In step two, we said we could do it if God wants us to. God supplies the strength. But in step three, I have to rely on Christ for that strength. The strength is there, but I have to rely on him. For example, suppose you tell me today, and I'll be glad to listen to you if you want to tell me this, that you just transferred $10,000 to my bank account. You sat there on your smartphone. You know how you can do that. And if you don't, I'll be glad to show you how. And make a transfer. And put in the amount. And hit the button. And that money's gone. And you transferred $10,000 to my bank account. Now, does that change my life in any way? Not really. Does it do me any good? Not really. It's just a number. I can go on my phone and look at my account balance and see that it's $10,000 more. But so what? It might give me some peace of mind, but it doesn't really change anything until what? I access that money and do something with it. Doesn't really change it until I access that account. Now, what's your account with Jesus Christ? Philippians chapter 4, same chapter I read from, a little bit later in verse 19, Paul writes, "My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Can you even imagine what your account is? Think of it. Your account is, if you want to go on your phone and look at your personal account and your personal spiritual account, the name that pops up is not your name, but the name Christ Jesus. Everything that belongs to Christ belongs to you. And then it says also God's glory. Now that name, that title, God's glory, applies to the Old and New Testaments. All the glorious things that make up who God is. God's glory. And then it says, all the riches. So you put all that together, that is your account, your spiritual account. I mean, it couldn't be any greater than that. Now, do you live like that? Probably not. You know why? Because you're not accessing that account. You're living apart from that account, or not accessing all the riches in glory in Christ Jesus that God has given you. You need to trust in him when you feel weak. You need to rely on him and not on your own strength. So you can if you rely on Jesus Christ. And then fourth, you can if you start today and don't look back. If you start today and don't look back. Paul put it like this in Philippians 3. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So many people are stuck in the past that they aren't moving forward into the future. Now, for every one of us this morning, every one of us, 2018 is a closed book. We can't go back and rewrite any pages in 2018. But 2019 holds great possibilities ahead for us. Now, do you remember the story of the little engine that could? I halfway remembered the story until I went back and looked at it again. The boys and girls on the other side of the big mountain were waiting for the train to bring them their toys. But on the last stop, the engine broke. The engineer went to look for another engine to carry the toys over the mountain to the little boys and girls. Well, one big shiny engine said, "I'm not going to mess with that. I only carry passenger trains." Another big diesel locomotive said, That little small load, I'm not even going to mess with that. Then there was a tiny little switch engine, and he said, I'll do it. The other trains looked at him and said, but you're much too small. You can't do that. Do you remember what the little engine said as he headed up the mountain? I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. In the distance, the children saw him coming over the mountain and began to cheer and wave. They were so excited. And as the engine headed down the side of the mountain, what did he say? He said, I thought I could, I thought I could, I thought I could. Now, some of you are facing big mountains in your life right now. Marital, financial, career, health, school, relational, all kinds of mountains that you have in your life. Can you get over that mountain? You look at it and it is so tall and so overwhelming to you that you look at it and say, I can't, or I don't know if I can. I want to change that to not just I think I can. I want to take the rhythm of that, I think I can, I think I can, and change it to with God I can, with God I can, with God I can. With God, you can. You can. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So remember that four-letter word? I'm not going to say it again. Remember that four-letter word? Let's not say that one. Let's say I can, and let's change it to with God, I can. Now, in just a moment, you're going to be served communion. Now, I don't know what you do during the time that we're serving the bread and the cup. Maybe you spend a little time in prayer. Maybe you look around you at what other people are wearing today, or, you know, however you spend that time. But let me invite you to do something a little different today. During the time that we're being served, think about, in this year, what is there in this year that you want to say, with God, I can... fill in the blank. Some goals, some, I'm not talking about a New Year's resolution, because that's something you do on your own, but with God, I can, what is it that God is calling you to do this year? Maybe it's to build on something you did last year, or to launch into something brand new, or what? Maybe it's some battle you need to fight in your life. With God, I can, and fill in the blank. So be thinking about that. The reason I say during communion is because when you're served the bread and the cup, Jesus is saying to you, I gave my life for you. Jesus is also saying to you, I'm with you right now to help you with whatever it is that you are being called to do, and with God, you can. Let's prepare our hearts then to receive communion as we stand together as we're able and sing, Be Known to Us in Breaking Bread. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son. Through the gift of your Son, we are told that we can be one with you. We can have a personal relationship with you because of what Jesus has done to forgive our sins and pay our debt. Also, we're told that he is with us to give us strength, to empower us. We're not left alone to live the Christian life. In fact, if we try to live it on our own, we can't do it. So we thank you for your strength that we receive, and we pray that we would receive that strength even through this sacrament today. We thank you for our Savior Jesus, who long ago when he was gathered with his disciples, broke bread and offered to them, saying, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way also after supper he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. All of you drink of it. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." And so, Lord, as we partake, we seek your strength for this day, for all that you've called us to do and to be, for your honor and glory through Jesus our Savior. Jesus on that night gathered with his disciples and broke bread and offered to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body. Do this and remember me." We invite you as you serve the bread to hold it, and then we will partake all together at once, reminding us that we are one family. We are sisters and brothers in Christ. Then as you serve the cup, we invite you to partake of that individually, reminding us that we respond to God's word one person at a time, each one of us. Individually says, "I can," by faith in Jesus Christ. This is a table of grace. It's not a table that you have to earn. In fact, you can't earn it. It's a free gift that God has given you in Jesus Christ. So come and receive God's grace. Jesus said, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." Same way, also after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. All of you, drink it." But Lord, we remember reading in the Gospels that Jesus, when he was on this earth and was marching toward the cross, he struggled with that. He wished there were some other way other than giving his life completely as a sacrifice for us. And yet, with your help, he said, I can and I will. He did that for us. He gave us all. He didn't hold back anything. But Lord, we pray that we would take his example and use his power. Draw upon his strength to indeed say, I can do all that you have called me to do. Lord, help us to know that we're not alone. That we have your strength, and indeed we have each other. So help us to draw upon those strengths to do the things you've called us to do, Lord. Even as we pray for those in need, the list is long today, Lord, so many needs. But you are greater than even all those needs. So we pray that each one might know your strength and your power this day. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught his followers to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now continue our worship in the gifts that we present to God's glory. as we begin a new year together, we offer you our praises from the bottom of our hearts, saying, Alleluia, praise be to you above all. Lord, may you use us this year to bring glory to you through all the things you have called us to do. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. I'll be glad to greet you at the door today. I'm not going to shake your hand because I don't want you to say when you get sick next week that it was my fault. So. Now, as you go from this place, may the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, your spiritual account, all the riches in glory in Christ Jesus, empower you to say, I can. All the things that God has called you to do, to God's glory now and forever. Amen.